Says play skillfully on stringed instrument, and that she did. Love so amazing demands my soul's best song. Thank you. I enjoyed that very much. Very much. All right, go back with me to Philippians chapter 1. You will sing that by order of this pastor. You will sing that at the Bible conference this year. Philippians chapter 1. And seeking a message from the Lord for you, for this church, seeking a blessing. I want you to be blessed. I've just began reading through the epistles. The epistles are written to the churches. The epistles are letters, as you know, letters to the churches. And I read several, and I came to this one and was so blessed and so comforted, uplifted, and I thought, this is it. And the epistles, as I said, are written to the churches, and though they're full of reproof and rebuke, admonitions, warnings, chastenings from our Father who wrote it, yet these are love letters. The epistles are love letters to His people. Love letters from the Lord is the maybe the title of this, a love letter for God's people. Have you ever gotten out any old love letters that your whoever wrote you? It better be your husband or wife now. But you read them, you've read them before, but when you read them again, they're still a blessing to you, aren't they? Mindy every now and then gets out some silly little poems I wrote to her when I was just a young man. But she loves them. But this is something we've read many times before. Some of you, I know, this first part of Philippians is one of your favorite passages, and we need to read this over and over again. It's God's Word to His people. Verse 1, Paul and Timothy. These were two dear, dear men. Don't you feel like you know them? After all these years of reading about them and reading from them, don't you feel like you know Paul? You do. They're just like us, two dear brethren, two faithful, loving servants, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. He's the one who called them, sent them. He's the one whose people He loves and sent these men who love His people. And He sent them, and He says to all the saints in Christ Jesus, all the saints, old and young, male and female, weak and strong, all these saints. I love the term saint, don't you? It's short for sanctified ones, ones whom God Almighty set apart, whose love sets them apart, whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate, His purpose sets them apart, who He did predestinate, He called, His call sets them apart, brings them out from among others. And He whom He called, He justified. The blood of Christ that justifies them sets them apart. The saints in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. We looked at this We've looked at this many times, but most recently we considered what this means to be in Christ Jesus. And we used our pregnant ladies as an example, didn't we? And that's a good illustration, I think, one of the best that I can think of. Now, the child is in that mother's womb, conceived by the father. The father is the one that conceived that child and begotten of the father. And that child is a new, brand new creature, a living being that's never existed before. Someone who has never, ever existed before. That cannot be denied, can it? And that child has life given, not only from the father, but from that mother. That child lives because that mother lives. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said, didn't it? Because I live, you live also. And that child is complete. When we were looking at that ultrasound, I was just amazed seeing all those arms and legs. Long ones like his daddy, her daddy. Fingers and toes and all those members that make up a complete human being. Complete. They'll never grow anything in addition to what they have right there in the womb, in the mother. Complete. Christ said, the Word says, we are complete in Him, in need of nothing. And that child feeds off of the mother. I'm looking at you now, Hannah. Talked about her last time. Your child is feeding off of you. Feed gets its nourishment from her. So do we. From Christ. We feed off of Him. That child is protected by its mother. If the mother is safe, the child is safe. Right? As long as the mother lives, the child lives. The mother is safe, the child is safe. If Christ lives, we live. And that child is accepted in her. Wherever Hannah Parks goes, her baby goes. Right? You can't not accept Hannah. I mean, you can't accept Hannah and not accept her baby. Right? If you have her, you have to have her baby. They're one. They're accepted. We're accepted in the Beloved. Where she goes, the baby goes. Her friends are the baby's friends, right? Would you love anybody that didn't love your baby, Hannah? I don't think she would love anybody that didn't love you either. So it is with God's people. What the mother does, the baby does. And what our Lord does, we do in Him. And to an expectant mother, you're an expectant mother, aren't you? That means you're expecting to have this child. You're expecting this to be fulfilled. You're an expectant mother. So that child, is that child on your mind? Huh? Is that child in your heart already? Can you love an unborn child? Absolutely. That child is in her love. That child is in her mind, in her heart. And so he says to the saints in Christ. In Christ. And he goes on to say, which are at Philippi, and whatever is written to one church is written to all. The saints, you could easily say, to the saints which are at Rocky Mount or Central, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace be unto you. Grace means gift. Grace means gift. What we need, the Father, freely, lovingly, abundantly gives. He's called the God of all grace. Whatever grace we need, He gives it. And gives it abundantly. And giveth more of it. You use it up, or you think you abuse it, He gives more. He delights to give it. He gives life. Everything we have is a gift. By the grace of God, we are what we are. He gives life, the gift of life. He gives repentance. Repentance comes after life, doesn't it? Faith comes after the fact. Wisdom, understanding, peace, pardon, grace. We need grace to live by every day. Grace, He gives it. Restraining grace, constraining grace. Grace to die by. We're all going to need this someday. Grace to die by, He's promised it. I've witnessed many believers die. Never seen one yet that didn't die in peace. The Lord said that. Mark the perfect man, the end of that man. That is the one who's in Christ. The end of that man, that woman, is peace. Why? Because they're in Christ. Grace for every trial, whatever we are going to go through, He's promised grace to get us through it. Great. And He goes on to say, peace from God, our Father. Peace. Peace. God who's angry with the wicked every day. God who is a consuming fire, Scripture said. And the world's going to find that out someday. God who hates, Scripture says, all workers of iniquity. This God is not angry with us, but rather smiles on us. As at peace with us. Peace from God the Father. Because, why? We didn't make our peace. No, Scripture says Christ made peace for us by the blood of His cross. And the Holy Spirit makes us peaceable. He breaks down the enmity in us. We were once rebels. God's people were once rebels against God. But God changes that. God, the Holy Spirit, breaks down that enmity and makes them into a submissive, loving subject of God. Not a rebel. From a God-hater to a God-lover. From a God-ignorer to a God-worshipper. That's God's work. Peace from God, our Father. This God, who is not only our sovereign Creator and Judge and King, is our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father. Our Father who loves us. Our Father who begat us. Our Father who provides for us. Our Father who protects us. Our Father who leads us. Our Father who guides us. Our Father who teaches us. Our Father who chastens us. Our Father who loves us and will always love us and do all things for us. Forever and ever. Amen. Let me ask you, sons of God, let me ask you, do you love your sons? Do you? Sinners though they be like you, do you love them? Huh? Rebels though they may be, do you love them even while they're yet sinners? How much more, Scripture says, the Father. Do you give good gifts to your children? Do you? Do you love to give good gifts unto your children? What does Scripture say? How much more does your Father give good things of the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Will you ever disown your children for any reason? Do you think that there's anything that will ever cause you to disown your children? Huh? They may try to disown you, but will you ever disown them? John, will you? How much less would our Father? Do you pity? Let me ask you this. Do you pity your children? Do you have pity upon them? Do you have compassion upon them? How much more? Like as a father pitieth his children, Scripture said, the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. What about, do you know your children? Stephen, do you know Joseph? You know Joseph better than Joseph knows Joseph, don't you? You know him. You know everything about him. Why? Because he's you. He's you. Well, our Father knows our friend. He remembers that we're dust. And our Father, this God who is our Father, the great God, the everlasting Father, became a son, was made flesh, and took upon himself flesh and entered into these infirmities. He knows our friend. He knows everything about us. He himself was compassed, Scripture says, with infirmities. He's able to succor or help them. You're the biggest help that Joseph has, whether he knows it or not. The best friend he'll ever have, whether he knows it or not. Someday he will, I believe, but it's not already. Our God, Scripture says of his people, We're His friends. Christ said that. I call you friends. I call you friends. And all of this is because of the firstborn. Look at it. Verse, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten. We're sons by adoption. Yes, sons by new birth, but first by adoption. The papers were drawn up before the world began of our adoption. And then we're given this new birth in time. But the Lord Jesus Christ is truly the only begotten Son of the Most High God, the express image of God, the perfect, He is Him. He that hath seen Him hath seen the Father. It's not robbery for Him to be equal with God, because He is. Because He is. And He's the one in whom we are elected. Behold, mine elect, Christ said, God said, my elect, my servant, whom I delight. And all of God's people are chosen in Him, aren't they? I had an older brother. I have an elder brother, the firstborn. He was the eldest. And he, like most firstborn children, bore the closest image to my father. The closest image. Stephen is Joseph. Isn't he Joe Park? Walks like him, talks like him, acts like him. He is him. My oldest brother was that way, just like my father. And he was greatly loved by my father, my mother, and me. He was worthy of that love. I did not mind my father loving him. I did not mind him loving him best. I loved him too. He was my hero. He was my example. I looked up to him. And I did not mind the father loving him best. I could see why. He was a role model. I loved him too. And so it is with the Son of the Most High God. All of God's people, they see that He's the fairest among 10,000. No mortal can with Him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is He than all the fair who fill the heaven train. We don't mind that the Father loves Him best, do we? We see why. We know why. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. And so He says, this is from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother. He is the heir, and we're joint heirs. And He says, I thank God. In this letter, He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, every mention of you, every time your name comes up. I thank my God for you. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. You're bound to give thanks always to God for you. My father and mother, I don't ever remember them thanking me for letting them be my parents. Do you? I don't ever remember. Sam, did your father and mother ever thank you for your cooperation over the years? Did your mother ever thank you for cooperating in your birth? For letting her give, you know. No, it's absurd, isn't it? Well, we thank God. That's the reason you'll never hear this preacher or any true preacher thanking people for coming to worship God. Oh, we give honor and we give thanks to those that are for what they do for us. And God is not unrighteous to forget our works of faith and labor of love. He's not. And He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But it's God that worketh in us, both to will and do of His good pleasure. And so we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. The only reason you're here is because God brought you here. The only reason you're here is because God chose you. The only reason you love God is because He first loved you. And I thank God upon every... we have to thank God for bringing wild asses colts in here and taming them, don't we? Huh? Oh, it's certainly a clear work of God. By the grace of God, we are what we are. So we are bound to thank God always upon every remembrance of you. You know, those you love, you think of often, don't you? Those that you love come to mind quite often. Even those who have left us come to mind. I've talked about old Joe,
two or three times now already tonight, haven't I? But we don't ever forget those you love. And it's not, we ought to keep bringing them up. They're not dead anyway. Keep bringing them up. They're more alive than we are. And those that come to mind, those are the ones we love. And we have fond memories of them. Those that are oft mentioned, we have fond memories. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Do these people come to mind to you during the course of the week? Huh? You think about your brother? We need to think on things of others. Verse 4, he says, always in every prayer of mine, he said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, every mention of you, every time you come to mind, and every prayer of mine, I thank God for you. Those you love, you pray for too, don't you? Those you love, you pray for. And he says, I pray for you all. You all. Let me ask you something. Who in here could we do without? Who would you be willing to do without? Is there anybody in here you think is dispensable? Oh, let's say, Jenny Williams. We can do without her, can't we? Oh, God forbid. She's one of the dearest, sweetest, most precious sisters I have. I can't imagine being without you. I mean that. I'm not being sounding pious. I mean that. You think that about me? Can you think of anybody? There's old Ed Berry. Yeah, he's over the hill. A few years, he'll be gone. We won't miss him. Will we? Of course we will. Anybody we can do without, huh? I thank God, he says, in every prayer for you all. All of you. All of you. How about the weak one? We can do without him. He's a nobody. He needs us the most. What about the young one? The ugly one? No, not one. All of you. For you all, he said. Making requests with joy. Requests. That word means favor. Paul asked God to show favor on his people. God does favor his people. They're his favorites. All the tender mercies of God are upon all his work. He's good to all, but he's got his favorites. He's got his favorites. Don't you? Nah. Admit it. Yeah, you do. You're going to go to, Steve and Mary are going to go to graduation Saturday night. There's one person in however many hundreds there are to graduate that they've got their eye on. They're waiting on all those names. Just get this over with and get to the P's. Right? Call him first so we can get out of here. We got our faith. God has his faith. His people are his favorites. They're his sons, all of them. None of them more special than another unless it be Christ. That's all right. He's worth it. But the fact is, he loves us like he loves him. Hard as that is to believe, it's true. He says, I thank God for you all, making requests, asking God for your favor. Do you mind your brethren succeeding or prospering? Do you? Huh? Somebody gets a new car or a job or a house or whatever. We took that check to the Hollands. I wish it had been $1 million. I guess. It had ruined them if it was. But nevertheless, I don't mind a bit. I could use $1,000. Couldn't you? Anybody here couldn't? If you don't need it, give it to me. I could use it. But I could use it. But I honestly was more pleased that they got that. I'll get it. It'll come. You will too. What you've given will be returned to you with interest. Guaranteed. You have God's word on it. And he says in verse 5, I thank God, always thank God, in every prayer of mine, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. How was it the first day that you were united in this fellowship? What was it like?
Ah, this fellowship that we have is sweet indeed, is it not? Huh? The old saying is, it doesn't get any better than this. It really applies here. Honestly. Is that the way you feel? It.
What's it? This life. It doesn't get any better than this. Here. It will up there. A whole lot better. But this world is getting worse, isn't it? It's getting worse and worse. And God's people are all like Lot. They're vexed. It continually vexes them. The world vexes them. Their sin vexes them. But this fellowship is getting better. Getting sweeter and closer and more precious. We need to guard it. And I know why. I know why that is. I know why it's this way. You don't attribute that to me. You don't attribute that to you. But the God of all grace. Our Father. He's ordered peace. And we have it. And He called us into this fellowship. From the first day until now, it's been wonderful. Verse 6. And I'm confident, He said, of this very thing. I'm confident that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident. See, the Lord has never started anything that He didn't finish. I have. Have you? Let's pick on somebody here. Sam, does Hannah have anything for you to do? Any projects that she's that you have maybe have not finished? Any? How many? Oh my! Let's get off the subject. But our Lord never starts something He doesn't finish. Never. God is able. God is willing. God hath. God doth. God will yet finish it. I love that passage in 1 Corinthians. It says, God who hath delivered us, who doth deliver us, and we trust He will yet deliver us. God will finish that good work. What is that good work? Work of salvation. He's the author of it. He's the one that began this. He's the one that started it. He's the finisher. He always finishes what He starts. God purposed it. See, God's the one who architect this thing of salvation, this so great salvation. God's the one who purposed it. It was His will. Before the foundation of the world, God Almighty came up with this genius, this stroke of genius for His glory, for the eternal good and happiness of His people, a glorious, everlasting kingdom of His dear Son. God Almighty is the one that purposed this, and He wrote a book, wrote it down, wrote it all, everything about it in this book. Predestined, ordered in all things, and sure, and stamped it and sealed it. Finished. God finished. But yeah, when He said, I wrote it, it's done. Dictum factum. Right? Said, done. God finished it. That's it. Good as done. When Christ came, it had to be performed, didn't it? This work of salvation had to be performed, so God came in the person of His Son. Christ came down here and He did everything to work out our salvation. And He did it. And when hanging on the cross, what did He say? It is finished. And He sealed it also in His blood. In His blood. Finished. It's finished. Done. Sin put away and everlasting righteousness brought in. Then the Holy Spirit is sent. He's got a part equally as important. Equal with the other two. The Holy Spirit is sent by God the Father and by God the Son to round them all up. By the preaching of the gospel call, and He rounds them all up and He gives life, regenerates them by the word, by the seed, plants it in their heart, and gives this new life. And the Holy Spirit, in the end, will gather them all together. In the end, and present them to the Son to the Father, all present and accounted for. Finished. It's done. No one missing. And it says here, I love this. This really caught my attention. He'll perform it, He'll finish it until the day of Jesus Christ.
the day of Jesus Christ. That's what that great day is called. The day of Jesus Christ. Scripture calls it that dreadful, that great and dreadful day. Dreaded by some, greatly anticipated by others, by God's people. A glorious day, a terrible day, a day of terror for some, but a day of great joy for His people. A glorious day, a marvelous day, the day of Jesus Christ, the day, His day, the day, one long, never-ending, eternal day. The day, His day. And since we are in Him, since it is His day and we're in Him, it will be our day in the sun. Well, that's true, isn't it? Our day in the sun. It'll never end. You know, Scripture says there'll be no more sun, no more sea. You don't need those things anymore. God is the light. The Lamb is the light thereof. One long, the day of Jesus Christ. And He says, this is fitting. It's all fitting. Verse 7. It's all meet. It's meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. God Almighty laid these people on His heart. And that's a good indication that God has done and is going to do something. Keep somebody on your heart. Because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds. Now, this church at Philippi. This church at Philippi. Do you remember how it began? There's a woman named Lydia. Remember? Paul came to Philippi. You remember he wanted to go to Asia, and Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit kept him from going there. Instead, he had just dreamed somebody down in Macedonia, Philippi, said, come down here and help us out. And he went down there. He wanted to go to Bithynia, Asia, up there, but the Holy Spirit prevented him, so he went down here. Now, there's a woman named Lydia that was from Bithynia. She was a businesswoman, a seller of purple, or that is material, purple, and she had business. She had a business trip to take to Macedonia. You see, he wanted to go there, but the sheep wasn't there. So he sent him where the sheep was. And Paul went there, couldn't find anybody to meet, and he heard there were some women down by the river who told him, God, the Holy Spirit. He went down by the river, and there was Lydia and some other women where prayer was wont to be made. And Paul began to preach unto them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lydia, the Scripture says, the Lord opened her heart. And she opened her home. She was, from then on, Paul, one of his dearest sisters and friends in that Philippi. And he stayed with her. He and Timothy and others stayed with her every time they came through. And that wasn't the only one. There was a jailer. Remember, Paul, they took him to jail for preaching the gospel there in Philippi. And while in jail, he and Silas, they were singing. They were beaten with stripes and in chains and in darkness. But they were singing and praying. Well, you know that story. The Lord shook off the shackles and opened the jail doors. And that jailer, you know, scared to death and sprang in there with a light. And Paul preached the gospel to him and his house. And so the church at Philippi was started that way, miraculously. And this church, no less miraculous. We have our own story, don't we? Each one of us have our own story of how the Lord brought us here, a roundabout way. Huh? Don't you? What are you doing here all the way from North Carolina, from Alabama? Huh? From Alabama. What are you doing here from Kentucky? What are you doing up here? I know why you're here. God brought you here, part of this body, this fellowship. And so he says, you've been with me in my bonds. You reckon the church at Philippi thought about Paul? Paul was in prison when he wrote it. In prison at Rome. You reckon he was on their mind and their heart? What if I was thrown in jail? Huh? What if I was in jail and rolling up for preaching the gospel? Would you be thinking about me and pray about me? Huh? There wouldn't be a day go by, would there? Oh, my. So he says, you're with me in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. In defense and confirmation. We're set for the defense of the gospel, aren't we? I'm not the only one. I'm your voice. I'm your spokesman. I get on the radio and stand up here, and you bring your loved ones and friends and so forth, and I preach to them what you long to and want to. But you do the same. You're set. Aren't you set for the defense of this gospel? Huh? Aren't you, John? This gospel, my gospel, your gospel. God's gospel, your gospel. Herein I stand, Martin Luther said. Here I stand. I can do no other. I'm not going anywhere. Shall not believe anything else by the grace of God. Set for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. And you're all partakers with me of this grace. Paul was saved by the same grace that... I thought about this today, Jeanette. You reckon Paul had any... the jailer was cruel to Paul at first, wasn't it? Put him, threw him in that dungeon. Was mean to him. You reckon Paul had any compassion on him? Do you remember what Paul used to do to people? I thought about that for the first time. Paul, if anybody could have compassion on that jailer, Paul could. He did the same thing. He hailed men and women to jail, didn't he? He said, I persecuted the church. He said, I'm not fit to be called an apostle. I'm less than the least of all the saints. And he had compassion upon that jailer, considering his own self, where he came from, the grace of God. See, he's a partaker of the same grace. Took the same grace of God to save him as it did us. And so he says, you're partakers with me of this grace. And God is my record, he says. God is my record. Now, I don't think we should use this term. God is my witness. God is my record. Paul could, under inspiration. As much as I want to at times. Don't you? You want to emphasize your sincerity to somebody. Don't you? You want to say, God is my witness. But don't do that. Don't do that. God is not our witness, but we're His. Nevertheless, Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God testifying of him, of the truth of what he's writing, of who this is. God testifying. He says, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels or with the bowels, the same bowels of mercy and so forth. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. This mind of Christ was in him. And he says, I long after you all. Oh, he longed. They longed for him and he longed for them. Don't you know? Paul says, it's fitting I have you in my heart. It's fitting because you're with me. It's fitting because I long for you. Long for you. Love longs for the one it loved. No. Love can't bear to be separated very long from the one it loved. Is it so with you? I ask you to ask yourself a trying question. How long can you go without worship? David envied the birds that were nesting in the tabernacle when he was in exile, when he was being chased. He wished he could be back with his brethren, with his saints. Didn't it? How about you? I know you did. Nancy, when you were laid up for a while, we came to see you. But you longed to be here, didn't you? Sitting in this blessed place. How long can you go without fellowship with the brethren? Huh? Folks, if I didn't have fellowship with you, I wouldn't have any. You're the only friends I have. Really. And so, he says, to the saints in Christ Jesus, church at Central, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, stand with me. Our God and our Father in Christ, we give thanks. We thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your
kindness toward us through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for that good work. I'm confident that you will finish it, perform it for us until the day of Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day. We long for that day. But until then, we thank you for this blessed fellowship, this oasis, this refuge, this city of refuge that we have, that you've put us in. And Lord, it's a blessed fellowship. Let us cherish it, nourish it, nurture it, and protect it, guide it, guard it, be zealous of it, and promote it, and support it. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.